Hello, hello. Welcome to Pilled, where you can join the masses of crypto pilled degens. And if you're not one of them, well, just you wait. I'm your host, Anisha Sankarneni, and this is Pilled. Today we have Jimmy from Aave. Jimmy, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me on. What's up, guys? I am Jimmy. Some people call me Xerox Jim. It's my handle on Twitter. I've been in crypto for about 5 years, and I currently work at Aave running the experiments team.
Amazing. Thank you. Would you give us a little background on yourself and maybe even tell us how you got into crypto and how you got crypto pilled?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been in crypto for 5 years, and now I work at Aave. So that's like a bit of a primer, but how did I start? I guess I started in late 2016, a bit after Ethereum launched. Like, a few people in my university were talking about it, and they were talking about it in the context of like Silk Road and it getting shut down and like a bunch of the kind of copycats arising and stuff like that. So I was just like, not really something I really care about on a day-to-day basis. But I had one dude that pitched me the vision that was like this world computer and this open access for anyone that wants to run applications and like this money layer. And I was like, okay, that's actually pretty dope. And I can definitely mess with it. And so I bought my first ETH on Coinbase. And I was just like a trader for a while, not really having a relationship with it outside of, oh, like number go up because it's a transformative technology. And I guess I had that relationship, obviously, throughout college and then all the way down in 2018 when everything collapsed and I was like bag holding. I was down pretty bad. And I was like, I'm not selling because I'm still bullish on the tech, but maybe I should understand like what this technology actually is. And so I read, the Bitcoin white paper. I read the Ethereum white paper and I was like sufficiently pilled, at least to an extent. I was like, oh, this isn't just an asset. It's like a technology. And at the time I was like working full time as a consultant and I was like, yeah, I hate my job. Like I'm super pilled. Like how do I work full time? And so I left my job and I joined Ripple, which was like this big ass like crypto company that was solving like cross-border payments. And so I joined a builder capacity. And so I didn't really want to be like a strategy person anymore. I wanted to like actually build things. So I became a PM and I was there for about 2 years and then left to be like full-time DAO. This was during a little bit after DeFi summer. And I was like, oh, Ethereum's where it's at. I want to just immerse myself in that. So I was like reading a lot about what's happening in Ethereum, a lot about these DeFi protocols. I wanted to be a contributor. So I was like full-time DAO, or as I have to call it, unemployed for a while. And then I joined this other Ethereum startup called Unstoppable Domains, which is solving the identity problem in the space. And I just left that a few months ago. And now I work at Aave, including their experiments team, which is, like, I don't know, for better word, like moonshots, like Google X kind of. And yeah, that's been my journey so far with crypto.
Thank you. That was a lot. And it makes sense because you've been in the space for a while. You've been interested in the space for a while. What were you doing? You mentioned consulting, but what were you doing in college? What were you studying? What were you doing as a consultant? And how different was it from what you're doing right now? I'm sure radically different, but just to compare and contrast.
Yeah, it's like in some ways super different, but in some ways also eerily similar. But I can expand on that. So let me take a step back. What did I do in college? I studied math at Northwestern Chicago, which is where I was born. That was very theoretical in a sense, but I think what was really helpful about it was it taught me a lot about just general problem solving, like proofs and stringing together logical statements. I also had not a minor, but some interest in philosophy as well. And so those kind of blend together for me to just be, how do you string together these very, bulletproof kind of arguments in favor or against? And then I was unsure of what I wanted to do towards, the end of college, like a lot of people. And I was just like, I'll just delay it a few years. And so I joined consulting. And so I was at McKinsey and I, for some reason, randomly got assigned to do financial services work. So it's like helping banks, with their strategies and stuff. That was literally the only stipulation I had when I joined. I was telling my staffing manager, I was like, hey, I'll get staffed on anything. I don't really care, but do not put me on banks. I fucking hate banking. And she was like, ha, psych, like, I got you. That's, you're on a bank now. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that's good context. And then relative to what you do now, you mentioned that there are some similarities and I'd love to hear what you think that crossover is.
Yeah, definitely. So the similarity is I still use that kind of problem solving muscle, or it's whether it's a proof or whether it be solving these really ambiguous strategic problems for these large, you know, financial institutions. It's the same muscle to a certain extent. If someone were to come to me and say, oh, hey, how do we build or get adoption on, you know, this DeFi protocol or this dApp? I'll be like, okay, I'll just apply the same framework, honestly. And so that work is pretty similar in that regard. But obviously it's different because there's so many differences to what I do versus what I used to do. I think the most striking thing is just authenticity. I feel like I'm more authentically myself now at work, whereas before I felt there was this game I had to play of wearing the right stuff and saying the right words, not swearing. I've gotten feedback before that I swear too much at work. But now I just cuss like a sailor in the Aave office, and you know, no one really seems to mind. But it's more like work the hours that I want and share memes and just generally be a lot more playful with what I do. And that's one of a few differences that I've noted since I made the switch from a more, you know, formal, like, or traditional job rather.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful. Thank you. And I'm glad that you feel like you can be more yourself, because work is hard. We're all working long hours. And if you're also doing it in a way that you don't feel like you're being yourself, it makes it that much more difficult and strenuous. So that's really important. I think this would be a perfect segue. I wanted to ask you more about your thoughts about a lot of people entering crypto as an industry right now and maybe leaving their more formal traditional Web2 jobs or finance jobs, whatever they may have been doing previously, and entering crypto. I know you have a lot of thoughts around that.
Yeah, definitely. I think broadly, when people think about their job, there's a level of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Okay, what I really want to be doing is smoking weed and playing video games or hiking or traveling or being with your family. And so what I think is great about crypto is I never think there will never be true sacrifice, never be no sacrifice. It is a lot less when you work in Web3. So it's that playful element I was talking about, the authenticity, working with really smart folks. When you think about other things, it's location and time flexibility, working with incredibly smart colleagues, working on, you know, the bleeding edge of technology and novel mechanism design for human coordination. Those are all things that are like really cool. And if you put it on like a framework against like traditional job, you're like, huh, crypto has this, crypto has this and this. And then you look at your formal job and you're like, that's not necessarily the case. Like people like strictly prefer, I think broadly everyone that works full-time in crypto strictly prefers working in it because of just a multitude of different parameters. And so that's kind of what I vouch for. Like, I vouch for people to like have a more fulfilling relationship with their job or like what they do in order to earn a living, whether it be multiple contexts if you're full-time DAO, or whether it be just working on a really interesting problem that you felt wasn't, you know, exactly being addressed in your previous job. That's like where I come from, and I try to be a very tactical in terms of helping people make that transition, because I think people deserve to like what they do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'm all for having a more fulfilling relationship with work. And I also got into crypto only earlier this year, and I can resonate with a lot of things that you're saying. I think a question a lot of people have is, you know, how do you do it? Especially if they have not been exposed to crypto for very long, or they might only be getting exposed to crypto right now. Maybe this podcast is one of those ways. And for people like that, to make that jump into working in this industry full time, where do you even start? What advice would you have for them?
Yeah, totally. So I think there's like a number of ways to tackle it. I think the broadest advice I can give someone is take some time to just learn and get a sense of their current state landscape. So it's get a sense of what it means to work in crypto. Like, I think we're at a point where it's so many things that you don't have to be very technical anymore. I think that was like a huge barrier for a lot of people to participate. So it's, you don't need to really read the Bitcoin white paper. You don't really need to know what a SHA-256 hash is and how mining actually happens. You do need to know, like, that's something that you're either interested in or not interested in. And you need to know like the other buckets, DeFi, decentralized finance, or it's NFTs and art, or even like GameFi, right? Blockchain gaming and DAOs and stuff like that. Like, you just like need to know what those words are and like get a sense of like if you want an opinion of that. Cause I think that helps like narrow your focus on what you want to eventually work in. And so it's obviously important to educate and go single player, like just play the campaign and understand who's who in the zoo and what is what. And then it's like a skill tree, right? Do you want to go multiplayer? Do you want to go on twitter.com and talk to people and form relationships and, you know, build a community, which I think is really important in crypto? Or do you just want to speed run that and just get a job? So if you want the latter, this isn't like Web 2 where it's, oh, I want to work at Stripe. It's, oh, like, then I'll just apply, duh. Right. And I hope that my resume is good enough. Hopefully, if I want to be a PM at Stripe, I've had enough PM experiences in my resume that they're like, oh, I'll give this person an interview. Maybe you'll get a reference or something. But I think what's really unique about Web 3 is like, it's a lot of show, don't tell. And so I tell a lot of people, hey, you need to dedicate time to showcase that you actually care. It could be playing multiplayer. It's, hey, I contribute these DAOs. Hey, I write these analyses on Twitter. I think that's a pretty good kind of proof. But another way that's single player is blogging or side projects. And so if you have a demonstrable portfolio of stuff that you do, people just know off the bat, you're like, oh, you care. Whereas it's a lot harder to convince someone, quote unquote, that you care. If you're just like, hey, I like crypto, I don't know anything about it, but I like it and I'm a really good PM, right? And then if I were a hiring manager, I'd be like, okay, what do you mean you care about crypto? Like that it doesn't add up in terms of your actions. So that's always something that I advocate for people.
I think that's a really good point and not one that I necessarily thought of. It's interesting because in the regular Web 2 world, I keep referring to it like that, but I feel like sometimes there's such a distinct divide. The people that have portfolios of work oftentimes are in specific roles. You think of like designers and oftentimes they have a portfolio of their work, or sometimes even PMs have projects that they've led for product and they have a portfolio of their work. Engineers often do on GitHub and such, but there are also a number of roles that you don't necessarily have to show a portfolio of your work when you attach your resume. And it's really not very much of a thing. I think in Web3, in crypto, as you mentioned, it doesn't really matter what role you're gunning for or what you're trying to get into. It feels very much, especially if you're doing this multiplayer mode, as you mentioned, on Twitter or on other platforms and forming a community, you oftentimes do, regardless of your role, end up showing proof of interest, right? Through blogging or engaging in threads or just spending a lot of time online engaging with other people in the community. Which brings me to the question, why do you think in crypto it matters so much that you show that you care? I know it's not necessary to engage with the larger crypto community, but oftentimes I think it does make it more fulfilling and it also does bring you a lot more opportunities. But why does it matter that you show that you care?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And honestly, I think I spend a disproportionate amount of time thinking about that and just a broader through line of why is this different than Web 2? So I think there's two pieces. And I think a lot of what I think about is how do we not conflate the two? And so one of them is like, this is an early community. Right. And the other one is like, this is Web3. And so,
yeah, I think we need to break those down further, especially if there's any listeners that are very new.
Totally. When it's early, you know everyone. And so there's a sense of, okay, we have to be in this together through some sort of common enemy, right? Like I'm sure Sam Altman just had a tweet thread about this, but he was like, oh, in 05 with Uber and Facebook and everything, all these big, big tech companies now, they were new, they were small, DoorDash too. And it was like Airbnb too. And they were, oh, it's like us against the world. He called it a shared secret in Silicon Valley that like they were going to do something really big.
Totally. Crypto definitely feels like that.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, if you talk to people from that time, it's, oh, Sam knows Paul Graham, knows Ben Horowitz, knows Dick Costolo. So it's all like together. And so it feels that way right now where it's, okay, like we're just trying to help each other out. And it's very intimate. And therefore, there's a bit of in-group versus out-group. And if you're trying to be an out-group, LARPing is an in-group, like you're getting called. I'm sorry, LARP for listeners means pretending.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
No, just in case.
No, I think that's super helpful. I think that's definitely what I've seen also, but yes.
The second point is when you get really philosophical about crypto, it's not about, oh, it's an asset. No, it's technology. I think the next ring of enlightenment, for lack of a better term, is seeing it as a mechanism for human coordination. And so it's like, oh, Bitcoin's not about money. It's about humans finally being able to coordinate through a trustless financial layer because of this mechanism. And that scales trade and interactions and whatever. And Ethereum does it for just generalized compute. And when you look at it that lens, you're like, oh, there's inherent cooperation baked into everything that we do. Mm-hmm. And we have a greater sense of what is positive sum for the entire community. And yeah, everyone talks about positive sum games. And there is this term in crypto called WAGMI, which is we're all going to make it. We're all going to make it. And so it's okay, that's inherently baked into the ethos of these primitives that we've built. Therefore, we want to celebrate people who bring more cooperation to the table. And so if you can showcase that you want to add on top of each other's values, that's really important. I think that's also why people get really skeptical of companies that build closed source. It's, oh, you're not helping. You're not exposing your repos. People aren't learning. They're not forking. You're just trying to get your buck.
To expand on that a little bit, many companies, for those who may not be aware, many companies in crypto are open source, and that kind of expands on that cooperation and allowing for that transparency and bringing everyone into the fold.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's this idea of composability, where it's you can combine a lot of these projects together or protocols, so make something new, and that compounds innovation. Yeah. So if people don't do that, you're like, oh, what's going on here? That's sauce.
And I think another thing that I thought about a lot earlier this year, when I had been working as a software engineer at a Web2 health tech company, and then I was like, okay, I'm curious about crypto. I'm going to go into venture capital. Do I want to focus entirely on crypto, or can it just be one of the buckets that I'm interested in? And the more time I spent in the community and learning about crypto, it very quickly became, okay, this can't just be part of the pie. It has to really be the whole pie. And it's for a number of reasons. It feels like the industry is moving so quickly. If you blink, like, five things have happened. You can miss massive things that potentially may impact the industry as a whole. And that sounds really ridiculous to say. That sounds like a complete exaggeration, but I've quite literally seen it real time happen multiple times. And that's insane. So I think the speed of the industry necessitates, if you want to be all in, you really need to keep up with it. And then also to your sentiment of community and being all in and it being this positive sum game, it really compounds when you lean into that and you engage with the community. You can always do single player and write blog posts on your own, learn on your own, but the more that you engage with others in the community, I feel that accelerates your learning and your community and your opportunities also. And I feel I've had that experience myself. When I wanted to learn more about it, I reached out to everyone who I knew who was in it. And very quickly, I spoke to one person. They're like, you need to go talk to these two people. You should go join this DAO. You want to get a better understanding of DeFi? Go talk to the SheFi team. This all like happened in the span of weeks, like not even months. And I felt I got crypto-pilled very quickly. And that was because I leaned into engaging with the community. So I guess for anyone that's curious about it and thinks they can lean in and might be interested in making that switch, leaning into the community and embracing that ethos of showing that you care if you do, and first getting an understanding of the lay of the land to even see if you're interested, is a good way to go about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's like pretty telling that anyone that kind of dips their feet in just gets sucked in, and you're like, whoa, this is awesome. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But just for anyone looking outside in, they're like, what is going on over there in like that corner of the internet? It's like everyone joining full time, everyone's changing their profile picture, saying different words. And then you see a lot of people make that rabbit hole analogy. You look down and you're like, whoa, this is deep.
Definitely. Would you have any recommendations for people that might be trying to initially just get the lay of the land? Let's say they're working their corporate job. They're like, I'm curious about crypto. I don't know enough to know that I can drop everything and run in that direction, but I want to just get a little bit lay of the land, understand things, and then I'm open to going in that direction if I am interested, but not yet. What should those people start with?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, it used to be this kind of standard playbook, but now like the surface area is so wide. I would say probably the best thing for you to do is honestly just ask someone. You probably have at least someone in your network that's pretty deep into crypto, and you should just ask dumb questions and hopefully they give you the time of the day. They should. I think it's almost the responsibility of crypto native people to take time out of their day to educate others that are interested. That's probably the best way to at least ask the most pressing questions on your mind and scale knowledge. That's what we did at McKinsey. The first thing I did when I was joining a new project was I just called the person that did my job in the last project, or I call an expert to get a lay of the land. It's way faster than reading. So yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, just for you to at least know what you didn't know initially.
Yeah. That's a great answer, and I couldn't agree more. I think people also learn better that way than just reading something off of a screen. Being able to go back and forth and ask your dumb questions really accelerates your learning and shows what gaps you might have and what you might be interested in.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how many times I've talked to someone like who's interested in crypto, and like, they didn't even realize that so many people were hiring, which is true. And they're like, oh, I didn't know crypto companies could sponsor visas if they wanted to stay in a certain country. Or I didn't know that you could do, you know, video game development and also work in crypto. And so it's, I think asking or just getting a sense of what's happening is incredibly helpful.
Absolutely. I think also a concern that people often have is whether their skills from their day job, or I say like their day job as if they're doing something else at night, but it's funny because most people in crypto often have their fingers in so many different pies. So this is my day job and these are all my other projects. But okay, so another concern I've heard before for someone who might be at a corporate Web2 job is whether their skills might translate in crypto into a crypto company, especially if they end up at a role that is not directly parallel to what they may have been doing. Do you think you've seen enough skill crossover to assuage their concerns?
I don't know if I'm going to assuage anyone, but yeah, I think that's a really important topic to unpack. You're just not going to do what you were doing in your old job unless you're a developer. And I think it's less about crypto versus trad tech, but it's more just a stage of a lot of these, right? So crypto's so new. What we think are big companies are max 2-3 years. And so you have to adjust your expectations on what you need to do. And so when you look at a seed or series A startup, you're not going to have a strategy role. I have a lot of people from my consulting network. They're like, oh, I want to do strategy at crypto. I'm like, you can do that, but just not for the companies that you want to. There's like first order jobs that need to be filled. And that's like devs, builders, and then for lack of a better term, like general business people. And there's like second order jobs that are more like legal, finance, other marketing support functions. There's, in my mind, even third order jobs like project managers, PMs, strategy people. I might be missing a few jobs. But so it's, if you want to be working in the second, third order jobs, you just got to go bigger. And so if you want to do strategy, which in my mind is a third order job, you have to join a big company. You have to join a Ripple, Facebook, Binance, what have you. They definitely have those jobs. You're not going to work at like this three person DeFi protocol that is getting all this buzz right now. So that's kind of where I'm telling people where they should be going.
That's a great way to think about it. Thank you. I know we're almost out of time. So the last question I have for you is not crypto related, but if you were to pill me and the audience about anything not crypto, what would you pitch us on?
Oh, I would definitely pitch everyone on taking a really long holiday to just be in nature. And so I think there's like this concept of flow state when you're working. You're, oh, I need a 4 to 6 hour block for me to just like be insanely productive. I think holidays work the same way. So it's having a 3 day weekend to do something is not enough. I would even argue like a week is not enough. I would do 2 to 2 weeks a month. Take that time off and just be in nature or just do something that's not related to your job. Like, you're going to come back insanely recharged. Unless you hate your job, then you're going to come back and be like, oh my God, like, why am I here?
Well, maybe that's when they're going to come back and they're going to be like, I need to change jobs and I need to go work in crypto.
Exactly. So listen to this podcast, go on that break, come back and join crypto is basically what I'm advocating for people. You know what?
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
thank you.
Bonus season.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much for that recommendation. I definitely could use one of those kinds of breaks. I don't know when, but putting that at the back of my mind because I could use that. Where can people find you if they ever want to see you in action or reach out?
Twitter, I would say, is my home, my metaverse home. So I'm at 0xJIM, 0xJIM at Twitter. And yeah, my DMs are open. They're quite shit show these days. And so if you just have a question at me publicly, you know, don't be afraid. I usually see those and am more responsive, honestly.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And I really appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.